Blog Talk Radio.
Another Tarot Today radio episode here on the Psychic Talk Radio Network. Welcome, everyone. I'm Dax Carlisle, a certified life coach, hypnotherapist, tarot advisor, and numerologist, coming to you live from Tucson, Arizona. And joining me, as always, is my fabulous co-host, certified tarot master, crystal Reiki master, and the vice president for certification for the Tarot Guild, Mary Brown. And here she is, live from Amarillo, Texas. Mary. Hey, Mary.
Hey, Dax. Hey, everybody. Happy Psychic Saturday and Tarot Today Show.
And that, too. Yes. Oh, my God. And how are you doing? You're in Texas where it's all going down.
It's all falling apart, right? Yeah. You know, I'm counting my blessings and feel very fortunate to live up in the panhandle of Texas where we're on a different grid than the rest of the state. So we've had the longest number of, you know, sub-zero days and freaving, you know, bursting pipes has been an issue around town. And we've had a minimal amount of rolling blackouts, but our blackouts actually rolled after an hour. You know, they didn't stay out for 30 some hours like down in Houston and Dallas and like just the whole rest of the state. It's hurting. So we're just, praying for and doing what we can to support our fellow Texans that are dealing with a literal catastrophe. It's something.
Well, our thoughts and prayers are with everyone in Texas, and hopefully this will all clear up. You know, isn't it crazy how it's all happening at the same time? Like, we, you know, been dealing with a pandemic for over a year, and then these weather things happening, and the power grid. We're at the tail end of Mercury retrograde. Found that out from Sharona on Friday, and that's either ended or just about to end. And, you know, maybe that's a good thing for Texas, you know, with the electrical part.
You would hope, right? You know, but I mean, look, all of these things can be related to, it's kind of like a lot of chickens have come home to roost, you know, a lot of things that we didn't keep our eye out for or,
prepare for
efforts to mitigate against, you know, and so eventually, you know, things, consequences and, you know, mm-hmm. the thing is like, now we all know what can go wrong. And,
hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully that, you know, going forward, hopefully we've learned a lot from all of this, and going forward we can avert similar things in the future.
Well, see, that's the thing I wanted to jump on, because when you said that, because if you look at all the major things, we did know. Mm-hmm. They warned us about 9/11 before 9/11. They were doing exercises. The Air Force was doing exercises for the eventual potentiality of a plane flying into a building on the day. It happened.
Yeah.
Texas has been warned multiple times about securing their infrastructure with their power grid, because they have most of Texas has a separate power grid. They're not connected to the other power grid. They can't, you know, get help from the other power grids in the states. And they were warned about, you know, weather issues, cold weather, freezing. They were warned about all this at the pandemic. 5 years before the pandemic, my mind just blanked. Microsoft guy.
Bill Gates. But not just
Bill
Gates.
Gates. Yeah, Bill
like
Gates. He did a whole thing. Yeah, but Bill Gates did a whole thing, a whole presentation 5 years ago. Why it's not going to be a nuclear attack, folks. It's going to be a pandemic. And did we prepare for it? Did we get the infrastructure? Did we get the, build up our supply of, you know, masks and gloves and everything? No.
Nope.
We've been warned about these things. Oh, God. Boy, talk about getting off on a tangent here.
Tangent. <Let's> come...
We're tangent people. We have fun on this show. We're going to let's rein it back in, though, because we got to tell everybody how to call into the show, because we're a live call-in show. And we've got a great show for you today, because we've got a special guest. We've got certified tarot reader John Allen, who's been around since, gosh, almost the beginning of the Tarot Guild being on the internet, you know, so 2010, 2011. And, fun stuff we're going to chat about today. We're going to talk about reading styles and reading methods, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. But we are a live call-in show. You can give us a ring at 714-816-4628. And we're in the chat post. We have a post on our Facebook group, Psyche Talk Radio, for each show. And the easy way to get there is you just open a new tab in your browser and type in psychictalk.net, our website for the network, psychictalk.net/chat. And on that post, you know how you can comment on a post? Well, guess what? We use it as a chat room. Just pop down in the comments, and you can comment on what we're discussing, throw in your two cents, ask questions, and even ask for a mini reading right there from our chat post at psychictalk.net/chat. But, of course, we would rather chat with you live on air. So if you can, dial in at 714-816-4628. As soon as you get through, press 1 on your dial pad. That will put you up in the caller queue, so we know that you want to be live on air with us. Otherwise, we just assume you're listening to the show. You can do that too. Just dial in. But give us a call. Hit 1. And it puts you up there in the order that you called in. So hold your spot. Hold your spot, because if you hang up and call back in, it's going to put you at the bottom of the list. So stay there on the phone. We're going to go to the phone lines in a little while. Meanwhile, I wanted to mention that today's show is sponsored by the Tarot Guild, the international organization for tarot lovers, students, and professionals since 2004. We're in our 17th year. Stop by our brand new social networking website. It's like Facebook for tarot, only it's tarot all the time and none of the negative stuff, right? Yeah, so come over to thetarotguild.com. We'd love to have you over there. And let's see, what else did I want to get out of the way here? I think that's
card of the day.
I think that's about. I was just going to say, I think I got a couple other things, but I think we'll wait to the bottom of the hour break. Let's do the card of the day. What did you get today?
Well, I drew a card from the Sufi Wisdom Oracle by Rasuli, one of my favorite oracles. And the card I drew is about having a balanced life. And basically, you know, life becomes imbalanced when we focus too much in one area and neglect the other area. So we want to bring that balance to our mind, our body, our heart, our spirit, get them all working together in harmony. You know, whether that, you know, things that we could do, like spending quality time talking to friends, getting out in nature if it's warm where you are, taking a walk, you know, improving your sleep patterns, whatever it is, it's a good day to like examine what may have fallen out of balance because we put too much attention on just one thing instead of our whole being. So that's a card of the day that I got. What did you get, Dax?
I've been pulling from my Llewellyn deck. I love that deck. It's watercolor and plus
gorgeous.
It's Welsh, based on you know, it's based on Waite Smith. I mean, you're going to recognize the images, but especially the Major Arcana is based on Welsh mythology, and I'm part Welsh, you know, from Wales in the UK. And I got the Six of Pentacles today, the Charity and Windfall card. You know, good fortune, generosity, charity, windfalls, repayment, karma, getting what you deserve, giving, receiving, assistance, a loan, return on investments, all those kind of things. And it fits in really nice with the numerology of the day because the day is the 20th. So in numerology, we reduce to a single digit. 2 + 0 = 2. And 2 is relationships, cooperation, partnerships. And then the entire date, 2/20/2021. Oh, all those twos, I love it. It reduces to 9 because you add all those numbers together, 2 + 2 + 2 + 2 + 1. And this is the number of the philanthropist, the Mother Teresa number. You know, 9 is the completion of a cycle. And as a life path number, it's, you know, these are the old souls. And they deeply care about people and, you know, often on a large scale. They want to help people on a large scale. And so today, looking at the numerology of the day and the tarot card that we got, what I'm telling folks in my article, I did an article on this, by the way, folks. If you want to see the beautiful image from the Llewellyn deck and read my article, go over to thetarotguild.com and click on articles and look for the tarot numerology for Saturday, February 20th. And you can check this out. So today I'm telling people to look at their own gifts and resources. How can you solve a big problem and help a lot of people? So you're going to look for the intersection of a big need plus what you're passionate about plus the skills and resources needed to solve it, and now you're creating value for people. And this is going to return to you as a big windfall. So that's what I got, Mary.
Awesome.
Oh God, and it's gorgeous in the Llewellyn deck. It really is. You know, it's one of my favorite. You know, the number 6 in general, the nurturer. You know, that's that nurturing energy, and you know, which goes along nicely with the 9, which is also a nurturer number, as the philanthropist. You know, and it's those numbers are part of the 3, 6, 9 subgroup of numbers on creativity in numerology. So I guess without any further ado, let's bring on Mr. John Allen.
Yay!
Hey, John!
Hey, Dad.
A little applause for you.
Hey!
Hey, Mary.
Hey! Yes, we have a whole audience in our virtual studio.
That's right. We have to do everything
nice
virtually.
You
know, we're in the health crisis. It's so great, John. Yeah, because it feels like it's been years, and you know, you found us, you know, with the new website, thetarotguild.com, and got back on the website, and I got your certificates back out to you, and everything, you know.
Yeah.
And it was so great when I heard from you. I was like, oh my God, it's John Allen. You know, it's like, along with Mary, you know, one of our first Tarot Guild members that weren't in San Diego, because, you know, for those that don't know the story, the Tarot Guild started as basically a meetup from meetup.com in San Diego, California, and we built it up to like 400 members locally, just locally. And then in 2010, it was actually 2009, see, we started the guild in 2004, and then in 2009, we decided to go online. And so we started building the website. We launched it and started getting folks on there. We had about 500 members on the website before we officially launched, which was January 20th, 2010. And it was my mom's birthday. And this year was Inauguration Day, by the way, as well. And so many things happened on the 20th of January. You know, it was the first Tarot Today radio broadcast. And the launching of our first ever website, which was also on the Ning platform, like this one, you know. So, you know, I was just tickled pink when you got back in contact with us.
Oh, me too.
It's all coming full circle. I love it.
It is.
Yeah, and you
remembered my great experiences with the first time around, and it just drew me right back after a long detour.
Yeah. And, you know, so in addition to tarot, John Allen does the Learn Em On, and he's like an expert in historical decks too. So he did all kinds of classes for us on historical decks and how to read the Learn Em On and deck and, you know, and back in the day.
You inspired me so much, too, with those classes you would give, because it really, that's where I kind of, my interest in historical decks, like, grew from that. And there's this other thing where you had done a class on, you know, a way to read the cards, and I just, ever since then, you did a few, but I remember, like, you know, the Nine of Cups. And ever since then, I always, you know, the Nine of Cups comes up. I'm like, oh, it's John's card. You know, it's like, I remember you, like, emphasizing that. And I'm like, oh, good. You know, it's like so much of, you know, what you shared and what you taught, like, just really, you know, inspired me to learn more.
Oh, that means a lot, Mary. Thank you. I had no idea.
Yeah. You never know. Mm. You never know the impact you have on people.
Yeah, you don't know who you get inspiration from, you know. And, but John,
we have no idea.
Exactly, exactly. You know, and I know you're going, you know, full time into professional tarot reading again. And but rewind back, you know, before you joined the Tarot Guild originally, how did you get into tarot to begin with?
Oh, sure. I guess what got me into using tools, especially cards, is that as a child, I used to always get images or dream things before they happen. And the images and dreams, though, are so, you know, internal and personal, and it was not something that was ever encouraged in me, you know, so I had a hard time dealing with the information. And then when it would bubble up in me, if I didn't share it, I wouldn't feel well. And I remember dealing with that for years. And finally, I decided to try to share an impression I got with someone when I saw them and got these images in my mind. And when I shared it, not only did I feel better because it kind of released it, but also the message was very pertinent to that person. But what I didn't like about that process is I'm someone who loves math, science. I'm very concrete. I'm organized. And I don't like things that are invisible or you can't prove. And, you know, if you tell someone that you got an image, that sounds a little like foo-foo. And so I always liked if I could have a tool that you and I can both see, but it confirms what's going on in your life, that would be much more helpful for me, for trusting the process. So my first endeavors in that realm were to learn playing cards because I had some family, a family member that did that for years. So I started out with playing cards and loved it, but the tarot was neat because it had more cards. So I was attracted to decks that had the pips like playing cards with no distracting images so that I could keep my focus on the reading. But it had those, you know, the extra four extra court cards, and then all the majors. So a 78-card deck was an improvement by 26 cards. So I started studying that and loved it, because then now I had something concrete to share with whomever needed help.
That's awesome. So in your studies of all these different things, did you find like one particular, you know, type of cards, you know, the historical decks, like what attracted you to that? And would you say, like, are those the decks you use the most?
Yeah, definitely. I remember there was a period where I enjoyed reviewing decks first for publishers, because I also just like helping people and promoting, especially if there's an artist I think is a really strong artist. So I remember reviewing decks that had pictures on every card, on every pip. But as I reviewed them, I realized that at the same time, I can't read with this. So, you know, for example, you could have only four different decks with pictures, and we know there's hundreds on the pips, and they're illustrated.
Yeah.
But from deck to deck, you could have such a wide difference in, like, theme, or one could be Rider-Waite-Smith based and another one could be a little less so. And so the meanings that I know from playing cards really don't match with the images. So then I had to decide, do I go with the image? And I'm not an image reader. So I found that they just kind of, they frustrated me, and they didn't let me go with what I saw on the table. And so for that reason, like, I love the Marseille decks. I have a Visconti, and I just have multiple copies of those so that I can beat them up, you know, and I don't buy expensive decks. I buy, you know, as cheap as I can.
Yeah.
Because I use them. And so that way, you know, if you don't have tarot around and you just have playing cards, you can just jump to your playing cards. You know, if you're sitting around and you've forgotten your cards or someone else's house, and then you can just do that. But then if you go back to your tarot, you can use your playing card meanings with tarot, because it's just a bonus with the extra cards.
Right.
That's fascinating. You know, I like the way John mentioned, Mary, about not being a image reader. And I think most tarot readers are, you know. So how's the process different? Like, where's the meaning coming from with the playing card?
Oh, okay. It's really fun, actually, if you thanks to the internet, you can get online and explore the background of playing cards, because there are many different traditions out there, and especially the European traditions. I know that playing cards also were bigger than tarot earlier in the 1900s or whatever, but there's, you know, like German traditions, there's Russian school, so you could investigate a system. But then once you kind of settle on a system which consists of associating keywords with a certain card, and then there will be a logic to that system too, like how they read the suits and the meanings and how they interact, things like card combining, or there's order. And usually when you read in playing card systems, it's rare to find positional readings. While they do exist, of course, most playing card readers read in tableau or in rows or groups or trios or fans, because the way playing cards are read typically is one card builds on or is influenced by the next, and they chain together to form a message. And then they also, you can look for what I call harmonies between cards on the table. And so if you're having to sort through distracting images like on tarot pips that are illustrated, then what you're doing is you're fighting what you might see, like a hot air balloon. And then that can be a really pretty looking card, but it really can pull your eye to it and take away from your ability to really quickly look at patterns. Like, for example, cartomancy, like playing cards, will use multiples. So if you see in a spread a pair of twos or three threes or four kings or whatever. There are also meanings for those. So basically, if you go online, if this is something that interests you, that you can either go to a certain reader's website. There are blogs. You can research. There are people who teach. I teach. So you can really learn a system. And once you stick with that system for a while, it becomes so comfortable for you that then you can transition to a tarot deck that's a historical deck. And then you have your extra cards. And then you can add to your vocabulary. And then you can jump back and forth between the two.
That reminds me of learning sacred geometry, the five platonic solids, the five elements, and numerology before I came to tarot. So then the tarot deck was made perfect sense to me. You know, it's kind of a similar thing. You're bringing this system with you and you're able to adapt it. What do you think, Mary?
Yeah, you know, and playing cards is something that has fascinated me, but I haven't gotten too far into it. I got the playing cards divination deck that US Games put out way back by Anna Cortez, and and I got the book. I just haven't read it yet. it's like I want to learn how to do this. I'm gonna get to it, but I'm sort of like tarot all the time. And you know, the one thing I've noticed is, you know, you talk about reviews. I do reviews too, but you know, the thing that I've noticed, like when I look at reviews, like say on Amazon. And a new deck comes out, and this happens a lot with the more affordable decks that come out from certain publishers, where they'll have a theme for the deck. And I have a few of them. I'm using one today called the Crystal Power Tarot. You know, it's all connected to crystals. There's a crystal for every card. But outside of the crystal associations, all of the miners are pips. You know, their unillustrated pip, that doesn't bother me at all, because I like Marseille decks as well. I love historical decks now, thanks to you. And, you know, it's like, but when I look at the reviews on Amazon, it's like people are like, they didn't illustrate the pips. I can't use this. And I'm like, why? You know, because it's like, yes, you can use it, because even if you haven't learned Marseille-style reading, or even playing cards, so cardomancy, basically reading playing cards. But you know, a lot of these decks, what they give you is the association with the theme, whether it's angels or crystals or whatever. Or on these pip decks, you see the number of, you know, of the suit, you know, and they also give you, instead of a, they either give you a keyword or they give you a affirmation to go with it. So I mean, they're totally usable. But, yeah, people are, like, freak out. They're like, I don't get it. There's no pictures. There's just sticks, you know, like one. So it's kind of fascinating. But you know, one thing I wanted to ask you, is there one of these playing card divination decks that you would recommend, or do we just get a regular poker deck?
A poker deck is perfect, and if you really are interested in a great book for cartomancy, the reading a playing card deck, there are a couple different systems out there, and two really good books that I would recommend, but they're very different, so you can, you know, maybe buy both, but I'll describe each one. The one that I really enjoyed the most is by Regina Russell. It's a yellow book. It's called the Card Reader's Handbook. It's very old, but it's a great exploration of playing card reading. And I remember right from the get-go, she tells you what it's like to work as a reader back when it was written. And then every card gets a page, a brief description. Then she goes on to card combinations, health meanings, really, really interesting stuff. Then a large portion of the book is devoted to how to combine trios, like a little card fan, how to read those. And then she goes into her inventory of larger spreads, more in the style of fortune telling, but where you would do a big spread followed by another big spread followed by another one, so that you could go so many months in advance, then so many more months, then so many more months. Then she has another chapter or section devoted to answering very specific questions, which is perfect for phone readings and things where you have little time. So all in all, it's a wonderful book. Then on the other side of the spectrum, I would say, would be a wonderful book by Deborah Lee. And Deborah Lee is someone I actually studied with. She's a very wonderful teacher, a wonderful human being. And she's also written a book. And because I'm on air, I'm blanking the title. So I don't want to throw out a guess of the title, but it's easy to look up Deborah Lee. And she also has her own system with completely different meanings for the cards. So depending on the system, you're going to have to pick your meanings and stick with them. But both of these books can really get you all the way to being secure in your card meanings, to the point where, because you're already a card reader, you know how to work with and gradually develop from there, better than just going, let's say, online somewhere for some website. There's a third source, which is not a book yet. I don't know if he has a book, but if you go to the World Divination Association, there's a teacher there. His name is David Arcuri, and he actually teaches his method of reading playing cards in a course. It's an online course.
Cool.
So those are three options for anyone who really want to learn a system of playing card reading.
Excellent. Excellent. Because, yeah, it's like, you know, when you Google things on the internet, it can be kind of overwhelming, and you don't really know, like, who really knows what they're talking about, like, what's going to work, you know, for you.
Right.
Awesome. I've written all that down.
Oh, good.
I'm, like, making notes. I'm like, Regina Russell, Deborah Lee, David Arcuri.
Yeah, I was just looking. I was looking real quick to see if I could find anything, and I can't find Deborah Lee's stuff. And Regina, it's on Amazon, but it's like out of print. I mean, you have to go to eBay to get a copy of the Card Reader's Handbook, just so you guys know, and it's $95.
Oh, wow.
But yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, do some searches, folks. You might be able to, you know, if you're lucky, you might be able to find a copy of that. You know, you know what all this tells me, Mary? Not even being able to, I did several searches on Deborah Lee and you know, finding Regina's on Amazon, but I can't get it. It tells me that we need more books like this, you know, so John's got to write a book.
Hey. Yeah. And I teach playing cards too. So it's there's another
there
option.
There you go.
Excellent. And you know, so do you have a website? How do people get a hold of you if they want to learn?
Oh, okay, I do. It's John Allen Cartomancy.
Cartomancy.
It's a Weebly address.
Weebly. So it's John.
No, it's John Allen Cartomancy. Weebly.com.
Yeah,
John
it's Carto.
JohnAllan Cartomancy.weebly.com.
Awesome sauce. I'm on the website now, and oh look, there's the certificate from the Tarot Guild, certified tarot reader. Okay. Awesome stuff. So, John, we were going to also talk about So that was, you know, some of the reading methods and things like that. But one thing that has come up that we were talking about off air was about the question that the person is asking. And the tendency nowadays, a lot of teachers say, okay, you have to reframe every question and make it more empowering for the client. Don't ask what they ask. Don't answer what they ask, basically, is what I'm taking from that. What's your thoughts on that?
I believe that it's best to answer the exact question that the client has instead of trying to figure out what's better for them. So I always write down the exact question. And mm-hmm. sometimes if they don't even have a question, I will work with them to see, well, like sometimes they'll call you or come to you by telling you a story, which is fine. But I like to have them come up with the questions so that we can then get a focus for them. It's more for the, you know, for them. And it helps me also narrow down my cards, but I never tailor someone else's card, someone else's question. How about you guys?
Mm. Well, I started off with, you know, many, 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 many decades ago. And it was around the time when this was like becoming a thing, you know, and you would sit down with the client and, you know, they would ask, when am I going to get married? Well, that's not really that empowering. Let's see if we can, you know, come up with an open-ended question, you know. And then a while back, I was like, well, what if you did actually just answer the question and do it 180 degrees opposite from how you're told nowadays to do readings? And I was like, oh, this works, because it was in conjunction also when I was, you know, starting to use Susan Blair Hunt's 5-card yes-no spread. And I adopted it for use on the radio shows because it was very fast. And I could get typically people were giving yes-no questions and I gave a yes-no answer, but I had 5 other cards that I could look into what was going on. And you weren't just getting yes or no like you do with other yes-no systems in tarot. You're getting 5 cards, which gives you a strong yes, probable yes, possible yes, strong no, you know, and so forth. So you're getting it's more specific, and then you have these other 5 cards to draw from. And because a lot of these, you know, close-ended questions that they're telling you to reframe them or rephrase them, make them empowering, you know, typically are yes-no. I'll go with the yes-no. I'll answer the question with that 5-card spread and then look at what else is going on in the 5 cards, and then work with them on other questions. And that's the part where you're empowering them then. You don't need to rephrase their question. You don't need to make a more empowering question. You can just answer it flat out and then go from there. That's how I do it nowadays. What about you, Mary?
Well, I always, you know, because I always stick with the question that they're asking. Usually what happens is I repeat the question to make sure that that's really what they want to know. And what I find by doing that is that they're like, well, I really want to focus on this part of this. You know, the question develops on its own. Kind of if you're kind of like giving them that kind of mirror, you know, of like, okay, this is what you want to know, this is what I'm going to ask, this is what we're looking for. And so it's kind of like it develops from that. And then as far as the cards that, you know, come up in answer to that question, I think that that's provides a lot of nuance, and I think that the majority of my clients are really, you know, wanting to know the answer to the questions that they ask, and they wouldn't take too kindly to me, trying to empower them instead. They're not looking for that. They would go to, like, I don't know, Tony Robbins or somebody like that to be empowered, I suppose, you know. But they're just looking for a tarot reading. And, you know, yeah, there's been this movement, for quite a while for tarot readers to, you know, ask more empowering questions, rephrase a question, all of that. But I hear a lot of complaints from clients about readers that they've gone to that did that, and they found it arrogant. They're like, I'm not asking you to run my life here. I just, I thought you were a reader and could ask you a question. So I see, kind of both sides of not only, how that, is being promoted in the tarot community, but also, the pushback it gets from a lot of clients. Some clients really like that, but that gets to me when you're trying to empower a client, that's more life coaching than it is tarot reading. You can combine the
That's
two,
right.
Sure.
Of course, that's what I do. I consider myself a life coach, but I still try to start out with their original question. Now, sometimes, tongue in cheek, I will hit them with something like, they'll say, am I going to get married? I'll be like, do you want to? It starts turning the wheels in their head, and maybe they'll come up with additional questions. And I'll still answer their questions. But, I always preface everything with, I can only do a reading from the now. And I see potential outcomes based on the trajectory of all the decisions you've made leading up to this moment. And you can decide to go in a different direction. So I'm going to tell you what the potential outcome is according to the trajectory. Here's what it is. And then we can ask additional questions and, pull a few cards.
I also think
John?
It's important. On the flip side, I also think it's important for a reader. I do this. If someone comes to me with a question that I don't feel I am capable enough to answer, I'll tell them I don't do that kind of question. I'll let them know. I don't see that kind of information in my readings, and I'll just let them know up front. You never want to fake something. And so, because that's dishonest to me, and it reflects badly on what we're trying to do to help people. So I think readers should also, instead of worrying, about that image, is immediately, if there's any type of question or situation you're not either able or comfortable with, is better to just be honest.
Wasn't there for a while, like, that golden rule of, like, I feel like it was like the 3 D's, like death, divorce, disease. Like, don't read on those things. You're not God, or whatever. Don't get to tell somebody when someone's going to die.
Exactly. It's like, you have to have ethics. And I mean, we have an entire, you can go onto thetarotguild.com and read our code of ethics. And all what you were just describing is part of the code of ethics, really. You don't answer questions you're not qualified to answer. You don't predict death. You don't do things like that. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, because we were talking about it in the green room before the show, was, in addition to this tendency to, rephrase the question that the client is giving you, there's also this movement to, okay, we can't use keywords anymore, and we have to look at the cards intuitively with a meaning that's kind of more nebulous or something along those lines. Have you seen this tendency? And what do you think about, keywords? And do you got a story about that, John?
Well, I know that for one, I love keywords because I think that keywords give us a fundamental. Being a musician, every now and then I might throw music words in, but music I think is a beautiful metaphor in a way for card reading and other things because it's abstract and there's a lot of math and harmonicity, there's clash, conflict. But when you, in music, when you take any particular note, any tone, that tone will have a frequency. And in card reading, I would call that the keyword. So if I call out a note or a name or a letter or a frequency, a musician will know that note. Like, you know, everyone knows that A is a note or C. You might have heard of A440. It just 440 just means that's the frequency of a particular note named A. But if that's your fundamental note, what happens when you strike or play a note on an acoustic instrument like a violin or a piano? You'll have your fundamental note, but that actual string or the instrument itself will vibrate, and you will get mathematical resonance at pitches that are higher. And the ratio is, it climbs and the ratio changes, but there's a multiplicity of notes that are all related to that fundamental, you know, and most musicians can name up to 11 or 12, even though it goes higher for each note. And to me, what that means in card reading, I didn't mean to take a long route to explain, but it's important. If you take a key word for a card, let's just take the Ace of Hearts or the Ace of Cups. I think most readers would agree that aces are a one and a beginning, and that cups and hearts could mean emotion or feelings or family. So a reader could take just a couple keywords that would be the basic energy of that card. You could, you know, so for me, Ace of Hearts is home and family. But you could also say new beginnings, love, source of love, etc. But what happens then is, if you think of music again, you play a note. Everyone might not hear this note, but there's the same note an octave higher that's also sounding. And then after that, it's a fifth higher than that. So other meanings can also resonate, but they'll be less apt to be accurate. But it depends on the question. If you know the question is geared towards work, then you can think a little more focused, a little more limited scope in meaning, but still based on what ace means and what hearts mean and what your core meaning is or your fundamental meaning for that card. Especially you're reading from a historical deck or playing cards, you might see, for example, the Ten of Cups. Ten can mean fulfillment, cups can mean family, but if there's a very specific question about a circumstance, suddenly the ten gets narrowed because of your knowledge of your key words, and you're not just looking at the card and feeling it, because if it was the Eight of Cups, which is so close to a ten, you mathematically, but if your keywords are different, and the question is very specific, like a work meaning, then you're refining it based on your understanding of the essence of the card and not on what my intuition says or in the picture they're doing this. So it translates to me as harmonizing with the question, harmonizing with the client and you, and the meanings, they're all harmonizing. So that's why I like to use that word of harmonics.
Oh, beautiful.
I love that. That's like your whole system. I mean, you could advertise that way. Go from dissonance to harmony, you know? Are you stuck in the minor chords? Get into the major.
That's great, Mary.
You got to steal that, John. You got to steal that. But,
yeah,
oh, yeah,
it's yours. My gift to you.
Oh.
Thank you.
And another thing, you know, another thing with the keywords, you're talking about, you know, a specific card. But what's your thoughts on card combinations? and other cards influencing the meaning.
Card combinations, too, I think are very important because they help refine and give your reading a cohesiveness. So if you take any three cards, let's just do a trio of three cards. If you take a trio and you're using positional spreads like in tarot, what happens is that position will give it a meaning. And that, depending on your reading style, that could tell you quite a bit about the situation, but you don't get the benefit of putting them together. So when you read in card combinations, you have suddenly a whole new avenue available. And it can depend on your style, of course. But for example, the way I read is that cups and coins is the same as hearts and diamonds, and those are red cards. And in cartomancy, red cards are positive. Clubs and spades are negative, but clubs are not as negative. And black tends to be negative. So if you don't even read your images or your numbers, and you have a trio of black, black, red, that means a situation starts out difficult but ends in a positive way. If you have, let's say, red, black, red, you could say a situation just meets some bumps in the road but finishes well. Or you could have red, red, black, you know, a situation that starts out well but you're working your way into, or it's leading into a rough situation with maybe a challenge or a delay at the end. And so that's without numbers and without meanings of cards, just using the color. You already are using the series of cards with each other to create an overall message. So think, too, if you use number or if you use meanings and you put two cards next to each other, and card combination doesn't mean that the original meanings disappear. You know, it doesn't mean that suddenly the Four of Hearts meaning disappears, but how does one card and the other, when you put them together, what image do they combine? What do they say together? So it's kind of like if you imagine an office building, and then you also imagine the smell of coffee in the office building. You've combined your two cards, and now you can also kind of assume that someone is working there, and it's not after hours, you know, like. But by combining them, you haven't taken away from the meaning, but you put them together, and it gives it a stronger cohesiveness. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It does.
Yeah,
make
that's
sense.
Great. It reminded me of
what do you guys
earlier
feel
when
about
you
card combining?
Oh,
well,
you know, I think that's the main thing, you know, to me. What do you think, Mary?
Yeah, I think it is too. I think that's how you get a story. You have a beginning, middle, and end, you know, and sometimes it's like, I don't know, I think that sometimes I think I'm kind of flexible really on how I read card combinations. When it's like, when I draw five cards and all five are major arcana cards, you know, which obviously doesn't happen very often, you know, that gets my attention. You know, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. We're talking about something big here. But a lot of times I see a story play out that way. I think of like a reading I did recently where, you know, I got like the knight. It's just like right across the center of the spread, and it's just a five-card spread. Those three cards around right through the center was like the Knight of Cups going into the Tower card, and ending with the Hanged Man. And I thought, okay, this seems obvious, you know? Like, you know, here we go. We follow our heart. We're going in this direction. Everything gets turned upside down. And now we're kind of, you know, we're in this weird place of suspension. And we got to kind of think about things and maybe kind of see how we could turn the situation around. You know, I mean, things like that. I forget what the question was or the circumstances, but I just remember just seeing that line so clearly, and probably because it was the knight and you know, they're on the horse, they're galloping. He's you know, the Knight of Cups is just one of my favorite cards. I'm like, all right, you know, follow your feelings, you know, go for it. And that often is great advice, but sometimes leads us to a situation that really shakes up our world, you know. So I kind of leave that flexibility where I don't have like rigid meanings for each of the cards. You know, sure, I've got, you know, things that pop into my mind, keywords immediately. Already I have an understanding of all the cards, but sometimes in the moment, you know, some of those things sort of fall away because the message seems so like to really be clear and immediate, I guess is a way to put it, that I don't, you know, I'm not even thinking so much about all the associations or, you know, all the keywords, you know, that we all develop over time. I just think like, wow, okay, it's plain as day, it's trying to smack me in the face. You know, I feel like the universe is shaking my shoulders and say, do you get it? You get it?
You know? Mm-hmm. Oh, Mary.
That's how I do it.
Sometimes I notice that, you know, I don't even use all the cards that I draw. Something is so obvious that, you know, I'm pulling from, you know, two or three out of, you know, five or more cards that is answering the question. You know, I don't even go into some of the other cards, you know, unless something comes up later that it relates to. The other thing that this reminded me of was, John, when, earlier on when you were talking about, you know, multiples showing up, like three twos, three or four queens, three or four kings.
Yes. Is that something that you use as well?
Sometimes, yeah. And I'm like Mary. It's like, does it fit the question? Does it fit the situation? Think it's relevant, you know?
Right.
And what would be some examples of, you know, just off the top of your head, and any combinations you want to come up with, you know, like, what would it mean if you got a bunch of queens? Or a bunch of kings, or a lot of threes, or how does that work in your system?
Well, for example, if the kings are touching, if they're all close and touching, especially if you have two kings, to me that's shaking hands. There's some sort of an agreement going on. But that's an additional layer. And so, like, if someone if someone asks about, let's say, even if not. The most obvious would be work, but let's take a reading that wouldn't be so obvious. Like maybe they say, are they going to move? And then you see two kings. I would read each king in the reading as a distinct person first. And I would look at their suit and what they're doing, what cards they're near. But then as an extra layer, then when I've answered whatever question it is, I would say, I see. Also, I have two kings in this, and they're so close, they're shaking hands. So that means that in your move or in this situation, I can clearly see that someone is either helping you or they're in agreement with whatever the topic is. You know, so it's an extra layer that helps push the reading or the answer in a direction or confirm if you were in doubt. Now, or another example, if I see a one red ace with one black ace, then to me that means confusion. Like it's an extra layer so that you, because usually you've got something beginning, some other new thing like a contract or a new relationship, but with the influence of red and black, then you have some friction. So there might be some confusion about these beginnings. Maybe one is influencing another in a way that they don't know which way to go first.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. To me, you know, when I see three or four kings, depending on what the question is, right away I'll think boardroom. And with a lot of queens, it might be, you know, sewing circle or girls' night out or, you know, different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome sauce. Wow. Mary, we've pumped out a ton of really great information for everybody. People got to listen to the show. Wow.
Lots to think about.
We got a ton of callers on the line, so we should shift into taking some calls. Are you ready for that, John? Take some calls?
Sure. Sounds good.
Awesome. Hey, Mary, do you want to let everyone know what's coming up on the radio network before we get to the calls real quick?
Absolutely. So this coming week on the Psychic Talk Radio Network, we've got a lot of great shows lined up. Our next show is going to be on Monday, February 22nd at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. It's the Wisdom of the Soul show with your host, Janice Fuchs. And on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, pay attention, people, this is a new time, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, we have the Compassionate Light Healing and Guidance Hour with your host, Catherine Hahn, and she's going to be talking about living the life you were meant to live. And then Dax will be back on Friday on the Doctors Are In show with his co-host, Dr. Rose Wilkerson, with their special guest, Charlotte Kornberg. And they'll be doing open lives with life coaching and free tarot mini readings. And then Dax and I will be back next Saturday, February 27th, with another episode of the Tarot Today Show and our Psychic Spin episode where you can let us know what you want us to ask. What do you want to know from the universe? Open lines and tarot mini readings all show long. And then Sunday, we're closing out the month of February on the 28th with the Magic Universe Show with your host, Sharona Rapsik. She's going to be talking about the magic of angel colors, plus doing open lines, angel Reiki, and free mini readings. And that is what is coming up on the Psychic Talk Radio Network. You can find that list of upcoming shows by going to psychictalk.net/upcoming. Back to you, Dax.
And on that page, I actually have it listed out through the middle of March, March 14th, you know, so you can see all the shows coming up, and you can always go there to find out what's coming up. I did want to mention two things. One is you're going to love this because you do your There's a Rock for That show, and you have your crystal guest. Well, Charlotte's going to be bringing a crystal guest on the Friday show, Hematite.
Awesome. Oh, that's a great show.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that, too. And then our monthly psychic spin, you know, for those that are familiar, but for those that are not familiar with our psychic spin, that's when we look at the big questions. So not your personal what's going on in your life. Of course, it's open lines. You can call in and you can ask for a mini reading on, you know, something involving your life, of course. But on the Psychic Spin segment, what we do is we look at something that everybody's talking about. Maybe it's in the news. Maybe it's on everybody's mind. You know, the first thing pops in my head is Texas, you know, and you know, that would be like an example of a big thing going on. And then also the really big questions, too. How does the universe work? And how does tarot work? And, you know, is there divinity?
What is the meaning of life?
Yes, you know, so it's the really, really big questions. Yeah. And so if you click on, you know, if you get a hold of Mary or I, or if you click on the Psychic Spin episode, open up the page, there's actually some links in there where you can communicate with us and let us know what questions you want us to ask. So normally Mary and I would pick something for the Psychic Spin each month, but now we decided we want you to tell us what to ask. And we're going to pull cards on that, plus take your calls and do the regular mini readings as well. So I just wanted to mention those couple of things as well. Awesome sauce. So waiting the longest on the lines. Oh, my God. Let's see. Area code 205 has been waiting the longest. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Patricia. I'm calling from Alabama. How are you?
Hi. Great.
Hey, hi, Patricia.
Hi, Alan. It is nice to meet you. I've spoke to Dick and Mary on many occasions, and I love it, love it, love it, love it. So, hello, to, nice to meet you, Alan.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you. My question is concerning my twin. I have a twin brother who is married, who, oh, God, where do I start with this? Who, as of late, has been dealing with a lot of confusion at his house with his wife, which is now starting to interfere with us other family members taking care of my incapacitated, mentally incapacitated uncle. So she's trying to no trespass everyone. She's already no trespass me when I was trying to take him food. And my brother keeps saying he's going to handle it. He's going to handle it. But it just seems to get worse. So can you tell me, do you see him, my brother, taking an initiative to remove this person who is the only connection to my uncle and the rest of the family through him?
Well, what I see here for you is he desperately wants to. He's also afraid of the repercussions. And I see that despite his best efforts, every time he gets so far with that, that something is going to continue to thwart him. I see it just, unfortunately, remaining frustrated and disappointing for him. So I would say his heart is in it, and he's doing his best, but his hands are tied.
Right. I'm getting a similar thing. I'm getting probably no. And what that's talking about, it's saying that the way things are going now, if nothing changes, then it's a no. But it's not a strong no, indicating that it could be turned around. And the main focus card is the justice card. It would require an intervention, Patricia. Any thoughts, Mary?
Yeah, you know, I'm agreeing with what John and Dax are saying. The thing that comes up for me at the end of this is the world card. And, you know, I feel like in this particular instance, it's saying, like, we're going to need outside help. The world out around the situation needs to know. I feel like he's not able. It's like a power differential between him and her that he's just not able to overcome on his own. And it may be, you know, that intervention needs to come from the outside, you know, the world around the situation, you know, in order to ensure, you know, the health and condition of your uncle.
Right. I totally agree. Thank you, all three of you, for the message.
Yeah.
I am initiating contacting Veterans Affairs. I'm in the process of typing up a letter.
Good.
You were going to say?
Good.
I will tap off.
Yep.
We
got to move on, but yeah, you're doing all the right things.
We wish you all the best with that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you all so much. I would like to remain on the line, please. Thank you for the message.
We'll put you back on hold so you can listen to the rest of the show. Great call to start off with. And we got a lot of callers, so we're going to have to go fast and loose here, folks. You know, and just try to get through as many calls as we can and all. But I think Patricia's on the right. Speed reading. speed reading, and all three of us are good at speed reading. We're all good at that.
Yeah.
And I'm glad Patricia's getting that letter out. I think that's a really great idea. Let's see, who's been waiting the longest? It looks like area code 727. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Kate calling from Florida.
Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Hi, Kate.
Hi. So, in the vein of speed reading,
yes. What
is my focus for my best and highest good in the coming 90 days?
Ooh, that's a great one, John.
In the coming 90 days. Well, the thing that I see here is there's one or more relationships that need healing. And as a result, that means you have to reestablish a connection with this person and kind of bite the bullet. I think you probably know who I mean, but it would be healing.
Awesome. And going along with that, in the vein of speed reading here, Kate, I got the Three of Swords, which fits in perfectly with what John was just talking about. Well, one little other additional piece of information over the next 90 days, I see you looking at your skills and abilities and kind of reevaluating everything. And the Magician card is showing up to remember to remind you that you have the power. Mary, what are you getting?
I'm just going to go with the affirmations on these cards, and it's really the same
nice message
in several of these cards about standing your ground, looking for peace, and, you know, making decisions without pressure. Don't let people pressure you into making decisions. In order to be in your highest, doing things for your highest good, you've got to stand up for what you value and not let others pressure you into doing decisions that aren't going to serve your best interests.
Awesome.
Always a good start. Real quick, Dax, will you repeat the card that you pulled for the general audience at the start of the show?
At the start of the show, it was the Six of Pentacles.
Okay. Thank you.
There you go. And I'll just remind everybody to go check out my article. You'll find it at thetarotguild.com. Click on articles. Of course, if you're on a phone, you have to hit the three lines, bring the drop-down menu, hit articles, and just look for the article for today's card of the day and numerology of the day. And you can see the card and you can read all about it right there. By the way, Mary, when I was talking to John last night, he said he really likes the tag team readings, and it's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Tag team speed reading.
Yes.
Awesome.
Awesome sauce. Okay, so next up is area code 347. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Tanika. I'm calling from New York.
Oh, can you say your name again? It cut out on me.
Hi, this is Tanika. I'm calling from New York.
Tanika, okay.
Hi, Tanika.
Yep, I just wanted to see if you see any shifts or change with me with getting a different job or moving to a different department in my job.
The first part cut out on me, too. If we see you...
If you see any changes with me with work, like if you see me getting a different job altogether, or moving to a different department in my job.
Thank you. Thank you for repeating that.
You're welcome.
Actually, I do. What I see here would be you staying where you are. And with some delay, though, what would you rather have? Because this looks like a situation, a little conflict, but to me it looks like you're going to get to do what you would make you happy
I want growth. I was trying to apply. I thought that growth would happen with this company, but it doesn't seem like you can get anywhere in the building that I work for the company. And So I was trying to apply to other jobs for the companies outside of my company, and I was hoping to get something like that because I don't think there's any room for growth or opportunity for it where I am. I don't know. I don't think there is. I thought there was, but it doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, actually, what I'm getting is that it would require additional skills, additional training of some sort, and also there's indications you should talk to people in the company and get some wise counsel from somebody that's been there a while and what you should do and what skills and abilities would allow you to move up if you stay in the same company. But, you know, really it could go either way. Mary?
Yeah, you know, card overlooking everything. And so I feel like, you know, that hope that you have, you know, for opportunities coming up right underneath it is the Ace of Pentacles. So I get that, but I get the rest of the cards are pages. So keep talking to people, Page of Pentacles especially, like keep learning, acquiring new skills, that kind of stuff. But I would, the biggest
That's
thing is
got.
Like don't give up. Yeah, don't give up and don't feel discouraged if it doesn't happen right away. I think there's a good chance for opportunities in the future, but yeah, it doesn't look like there's a lot of movement happening right now.
I hope that helped you out, Tamika.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to put you back on hold so you can listen to the rest of the show. And I did want to mention that, you know, I got the pages too, Mary, you know, and for me,
yeah.
that's learning and skill. So basically, Tamika needs to make it happen, not wait for it to happen, not just change departments or get a whole new job to advance that way, but make it happen by I'm going to better myself. I'm going to get more knowledge. I'm going to get new skills and abilities. And then whether it's within the same company or a new company, she's going to be in a much, much better place then. Let's see who's been waiting the longest. It looks like the Bay Area, 415. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello, area code 415. Are you there?
Hello. Hello, I'm here.
What's your name, hon? Where are you calling from?
Hi, sorry about that. This is Anne in California in San Francisco we talked about before.
Yeah, I love San
Francisco.
Right.
What's going on with you today? How can we help?
I would like a reading on kind of career first step. So, like, I know my big picture idea, and I know in the future, but because it's a whole new path I'm taking. So, but I'm looking for guidance on the first steps, the first job leading toward the big picture.
Interesting. What do you think, John?
The question is what to do next or where to focus? Is that what?
Yes.
Which one are you? Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes. Whichever comes up.
All the above.
Yeah, all the above. Okay, the thing that I'm getting for you would be that there's someone that you know who's already experienced and you consider to be successful, who can either sponsor you, coach you, guide you, write a letter of support, give you ideas.
Mm.
In other words, tapping into what someone else can offer you that is going to really help give you the boost. That's what I'm seeing for you. It's an important, and it's an important female.
Hmm.
Oh, you know, I can tag team right on that because what I got was the
Great.
King of Coins, King of Pentacles. I was going to say the exact same thing. It's a king, but
uh-huh.
You know, we're not sexist here. That doesn't mean a male necessarily. Okay, it just means somebody
a
with
leader.
Those attributes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And right next to it's the Sun card. You can't get better than the Sun card. Some of the
Ooh.
Other cards are talking about listening to your gut instincts on this and that,
yeah.
You know, the help is right there. You're just not seeing it. So what John said, is exactly what I was going to say. You look around, you find the mentor. They're going to be able to help you, especially if it can be somebody that is, you talked about, you have that ultimate goal, somebody that's already doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
Mary?
I haven't met that person yet.
Look around.
Yeah.
Search around, look in groups. What do you think, Mary?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. You know, there seems to be an emphasis in the cards that I drew on structure, you know, and stability. You know, it's interesting. I feel like, yeah, you know, this is about, you know, finding that person that can be helpful, maybe even a mentor or maybe even like kind of an example for you in the way to move forward, in the way to do this, that these changes that you're bringing into your life,
yeah,
that you're also going to have stability underlying it. You know, so we,
right,
when we take these next steps, we don't want to be on shifting sand. You know, we want to maintain stability at the same time and make sure that we can make that shift in a way that doesn't have to leave us in too vulnerable. You know, because change can do that, but if we have a plan. I feel like the emphasis here is like somebody that can help you come up with a plan of how to do this and taking our time, not rushing into it. Anyway, I think you probably are already doing that, and be willing to take where you're at now with your big picture and everything and be willing to make adjustments to that. You know, as you get more information, as you, you know, talk to people that are doing things, what you want to do successfully, that might change a little bit of your original vision. And so it's got to be flexible enough that you can make those adaptations.
Yeah.
What about on the
practical side of a job and not just talking to somebody, a first step? I mean, I get all those messages, but I also need to start working again.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So you mean what kind of job should you start with? Is that or
to
how
lead
do you,
to what I want? Yeah.
I see. Honestly, the thing that I am seeing is some sort of service. It brings you really in touch with people, because people keep jumping into this reading, but
for
so
sure.
does
yeah.
the idea of service,
helping people.
Helping people.
Sure.
And it could even be something as simple as getting involved. I know you need work, but if you have the time to collaborate with someone else, that you know who needs even part-time. Like, I'm not getting big cards for full-time.
Right.
But even if you could accept something that's part-time, you might think that it's taking the wrong turn or that you're headed in the wrong direction. Actually, the part-time can give you that financial boost and get you out and involved
right.
and inspire you. So I would say don't say no to part-time.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Does
you know,
that help?
Yeah.
I want to add something Please. Really quickly here that might be just off the wall, but I'm getting the Hierophant and the Six of Pentacles. And to me, a Hierophant often can be connected with like larger institutions, even nonprofits, with that Six of Pentacles showing up. So it may turn out that, you know, something that you might not think of like, oh, this is a lucrative career move, getting involved with like even like a charity, you know, something that's already established might
yeah.
actually be really beneficial.
Start. Yeah, eventually I do want to work for myself, but I have no problem with starting out with other organizations. Yeah.
It's a great idea.
And
thanks.
If
thanks,
I could
Ann.
Ask, can I ask another
no,
quick
one? No, we got to, I'm sorry,
oh,
we got to move
on.
On.
Okay.
One question,
all right.
One question per caller.
Sure.
Feel free
Thank
to call
you.
Back
Thanks
Ann,
for
though,
calling,
anytime.
All right.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Yep. And if we don't get to your call today, remember, you know, I'll be back on Friday. Mary and I'll be back next Saturday. Same bat time, same bat channel. And let's see if we can squeeze a couple more in before the end of the show. We got area code 310. Caller, where are you calling from?
Yes.
What's your name?
Hi, my name is Susan. I'm calling from Oklahoma.
Hi.
Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Hi.
So I was just wondering if you see anything coming up for me in the romantic area.
Ooh, we haven't had one of those too much today.
The romantic area. I like that.
John is shuffling.
I put a time focus on it because I like to work with time. So I just looked at the next month.
Okay.
So what I'm getting for you is that lately whatever's been around has been disappointing, but you're going to bounce back. I see you definitely meeting someone in the coming months that gives some bright energy to you and inspiration. However, in my opinion, it's probably going to be a good talker, so you might be a little disappointed. I think that the coming month gives you some excitement, but short term, but at least something to brighten your life a little bit. I just wouldn't put a lot of emphasis on the people you do meet, but it's at
least
hey,
enjoy.
Yeah.
This is something. Yeah. And piggybacking on John, I got the King of Wands. And so Wands, that's that fire energy. So I wouldn't be surprised if that person turns out to be an Aries or a Leo or a Sagittarius. And, you know, definitely that fiery energy, which is what John was talking about. There's some excitement there. Mary, anything?
Awesome.
Yeah. The one thing that I would add to it is I get the High Priestess and the Ten of Cups, and it's always saying, like, you know, pay attention to your gut feeling about these people, especially if you do meet a sweet talker, right? You got to follow your gut, you know, because we can get bowled over sometimes by those silvery tongues. Nine of Pentacles, the Ten of Cups comes up here. You just, you know, give it time. Give it some time,
okay,
and you're going to meet the right guy, I think.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan.
Thanks for
calling. Enjoy the rest of your weekend there, and have fun with the fire guy. one last call, and I don't have an area code for this one. It's just coming in unknown. So we're going to ask, what's your name? Where are you calling from, caller?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay, come through. Huh? Hello. Yeah. Okay. So it is me that's coming through. Hi, my name's Sue, and I'm calling from London.
Oh, wonderful.
Wow. No wonder it was unknown.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a question. I've just begun some negotiations, and I'm curious about what I need to know, outcomes, that sort of thing.
Awesome.
Yeah. Not really knowing much, like if it's financial or work. What I'm getting mostly is a focus on financials, or it could be resources or information. But the information that's coming through for me is, while the overall negotiations themselves might leave you feeling a little disappointed, overall, I see a benefit in something new coming out of it, smaller financials than you hoped, or a smaller benefit than you hoped, but still in your favor. So without being more precise, you know, that's what I see. Does any of that make sense?
Possibly, yeah, it is about work. So you're saying it's not what I'm thinking, but it's a benefit. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. In other words, what I'm getting is that the back and forth or negotiations aren't turning out ideally for you. You're not getting everything you want, but nevertheless, there is a benefit to it that you might, you'll see in the end. Not ideal, but you are going to benefit, and it could be with a new task, a new source of income, or something new. But it's just not everything you wanted. It's maybe not as rich as you wanted, or creative, or as free. Does that, I don't know if that helps, but overall, it works in your favor.
So I will be okay. I'll be better off.
Yes.
In other words,
yeah. That's what I see.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of threes, and basically it's working with other people, and I'm getting a project. There's a decision maker. The King of Swords is showing up between the threes here. And the card of the day showed up, the Six of Pentacles, windfall. You know, the thing about the Six of Cups in a lot of the, you know, traditional looking versions is the individual handing out the benefit is holding a scales. So like John was just saying, it's a measured return, but definitely a return.
So there's definitely something coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see what Mary's got. Mary?
Well, I'm getting a positive outcome with this. I just feel like, you know, like you already know probably, hey, you're the one standing up for you. Like in these negotiations, you have to, you know, keep that in mind that nobody else is going to be fighting for you except you in this, really. Okay? And the, you know, communication being clear really, you know, needs to be key to this. The only thing that bothers me out of anything, right, because I do think it ends well and everything, is that it seems like this all started with the Seven of Swords. So was there something that wasn't quite, you know, that you weren't told about in the beginning or something like that? That to me,
yes.
When the Seven of
yes.
Swords comes
yes.
up in the past,
yes.
it feels like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't get the whole story. You know, at first.
It wasn't clear in the beginning, the negotiation, yeah. It was misleading, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, well, that is your Seven of Swords. I can, you know, a little misleading. So, you know, I think you come out of this all right with the Empress card, you know, showing about, you know, nurturing, creativity, all of that stuff. It's a great outcome to me. But, yeah, I feel like, you know, remember how it started out kind of shady, and, you know, keep your eye on things being made really implicitly clear during the negotiations so nothing's hidden from you, okay?
Yeah, okay, all right. So it will end and I will be in a better position. Okay, all right, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks
sure.
for calling in, Sue.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, all the way from London. That was great.
Good
oh,
luck,
my
Sue.
God. Great for our last call of the day. We got a call from London. That doesn't happen in every show.
Nope.
Yes. Fun stuff. Hey, before we end the show, we're ending the show now. Before we end the show, Mary, pull a card for John.
Pull a card for John. Ooh, I'm going to pull
yeah,
one
Yeah, let's
from
turn
my
the table
crystal.
Here. Let's turn the table.
Yeah. I'm going to
yeah.
pull one card from my Crystal Power deck. Do you even get a crystal with it? Ooh, I got the Nine of Wands.
Yeah?
I got the Nine of Wands for you. And the little affirmation on this deck says, I make decisions without pressure. And the crystal is yellow calcite. So that's a wonderful solar plexus crystal.
Well, thank you, Mary.
Well, you're welcome. Dax, what about you?
Oh, the future looks bright. The Wheel of Fortune is turning in John's favor. We got the Wheel of Fortune. That's the only major arcana card that shows up. But just one caveat, and I don't know if this is conscious or subconscious, but Two of Swords, there's something going on. There's a decision that either consciously or subconsciously you haven't fully committed. And then a whole bunch of emotions cards. You know, it's like you need to set things aside and move onward and upward after you make this decision, whatever it is, to just go for it. and then you get more in alignment with what's emotionally satisfying. And I feel this all deals with career, by the way.
Thank you. That's important. Yeah, career is big right now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you both.
So
you.
I don't know if it's conscious.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's conscious or for that, John, that there's like some kind of decision that needs to be made. Oh, my God. Big stuff going by. What a great show. Thanks for being here with us.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. A lot of fun.
It was fun.
We'll have to have you back soon.
Yeah. You guys are fun to work with.
Awesome stuff. Yeah, maybe we'll get John to do some like mini workshops again and like the
Yay.
Old days and
hey,
you know
sure.
historical decks and the cartomancy is the one that I think it would be awesome to have, and you know, because there's confusing information out there, like you said, some of the best books are unavailable. You know, it's like, okay, we need John to like do a little mini workshop on cartomancy. That'd be because like you kind of did that on the show today, and I learned so much, you know, just listening to you talking about the different ways you look at playing cards, you know, and it makes so much sense.
Oh, good.
You know, so it'd be nice to hear more. Awesome.
Sure.
Well, thanks for being on. I want to thank all of our listeners and callers, because we don't have a show without you. And thank you for being here, Mary.
Thank you, Dex. Thanks, John. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. We'll see you next time. Bye, everyone. Bye, John. Bye, Mary.
Bye.
Bye, Dex. Bye, John. Bye, everybody.
Bye, Mary.